Well, go ahead and take out your Bibles. Turn to 2 Corinthians. What a wonderful time of year. It's a bittersweet time for me, anyway. Not everyone would agree. I love Christmas time. I love spending time with family. I love thinking about the coming of Jesus Christ. I love the opportunities to talk with people about Jesus that come from Christmas. Certainly people are thinking about those types of things, at least about the season in general, so it gives you opportunity to. But then living in Iowa comes with a price, doesn't it? Snow. That evil thing. Cold weather. And it's okay. We're thinking today from 2 Corinthians, what I'm thinking of for us today is more, it'll be long enough to be a message, but it's more of a devotional thought than a message, quite honestly. It's more of us together, or I think the goal for today is us together just thinking on the person of Jesus Christ today. Thinking about what God has done, what God has given, what it even means when we say Christmas, what we should be focused on and thinking of as believers in Jesus Christ, as people today. God is an incredible giver, isn't He? As we think about this, our text for today is just a simple verse, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift, 2 Corinthians 9:15. And this comes to us really. And it comes to us at the end of a chapter on giving, on finances and things like that. But it's really, in the sense I think it comes out in this chapter, is it's just Paul coming to the end of all of these thoughts and just exclaiming that. Just kind of like an expression. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. And him just really, and I think that's just a wonderful thing for us today as we dig into this, as we think on God's nature and the character of Jesus Christ, this should be the overflow of our hearts today. This should be what, as we sit here together, as we walk out of this place together, as we have conversations with people, the joy of the true and only meaningful gift ever given should just flow out of God's people. Let's pray together, and let's think on these things sort of in a devotional way. We're going to look at several scriptures together. And just kind of hopefully mesh all these things together to elevate our thoughts about Jesus. Well, Lord, thank you once again for an opportunity to look into your word. Thank you for a time as you've given us another day. And we certainly know that those are limited. And we don't know when we get our last breath or even when you come back to snatch us all out of here. And so we're just thankful for now a time, a day to live, a day to think on you, a day to serve and please you, and a day to minister really in the lives of those you've made to intersect our lives. Help us today, God, as we meditate on your character, as we think on your gift of Jesus Christ and how, Lord, we should respond really in so many different ways that would be good for us to respond to the truth that you have given your only Son for us and sent him in such an amazing way. God, help us. We pray for opportunities. We pray for you to put people in front of our path this season. And God, give us, first of all, an attentiveness to think on spiritual things ourselves. Secondly, an openness to minister to people in their lost state. And thirdly, God, boldness to speak in a gracious way to people who need to hear the truth, who are dying, Lord. And for us to have a heart of compassion for them, just to share the truth and let you work through that. God, please bless this time in your word. Help us as we look at many things together to sort of have a purpose and a focus and that it all to gel together in a way that's helpful and useful for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said, just more of a devotional thought, devotional time than really just a message, because there are so many scriptures I would like for us to look at this morning. And the purpose is, if you think about life, we talk a lot here about methodology of changing and growing, things that are helpful for people, things to, you know, the purpose of some of the, a good portion of the New Testament certainly is to help God's people know Him more and then live in a way that's pleasing to Him. And it all goes together, doesn't it? I mean, if you know God, you want to live in a way that's pleasing to Him. It would make no sense to say, I know God, I love God, but I do not want to live for Him. It would make no sense whatsoever. It'd be like your parents saying, yeah, Mom and Dad, I love you, but I refuse and do not want to do anything that you say. Right? It'd be crazy. So we know that, but how that really, the biggest part of that is just the person of Jesus Christ. The methodology is totally secondary. Those things are helpful sometimes, right? They're helpful for us to think through. Others have had victory in areas in their life, and we've seen, and scriptures help us to know how to please God. But really, it comes back to who is Jesus Christ? And really, the most vital role of changing and growing is just a heart that loves the living God. As Jesus said, then He changes your heart, and what flows up out of you is living water. And it's not, you can change the behavior, you can change the exterior, you can do all of the methodology and still have a heart that is hardened and have no real change in your life. Today is what we're thinking about here, just the amazing nature of God's gift. And that's really what you can just sense that in Paul's words here as he wraps up 2 Corinthians 9. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible or His indescribable gift, a gift that is beyond describing. God's nature, His very nature, is to give. Are you thankful for that today? Amen, right? Amen. God's very nature is just to be a giver. He is a giving God. If you back up in the chapter a little bit, in verse 9 it says, as it is written, He has distributed freely, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. He's a giving God. He gives gifts. That's what He's all about. He's constantly showering us with gifts. Constantly. I know in my own life, I'm amazed. I'm amazed by the graciousness God has shown me. And I just have to confess and just be honest today that I have just had everything handed to me on a silver platter. I remember having a conversation with a guy one time and some people razzing me. And we were in ministry together, and another guy said, these guys think you've had everything handed to you. You have worked for everything you have. And I said, oh, no. They're right. They're right. I have had everything handed to me. God has been so incredibly gracious to me. And if you think about it, the abilities and the skills and the things that God has given us, that we don't have them from our own. I didn't make myself, right? God gave me the very ability to do the things that I'm able to do. And every one of us would have to say the same thing. God has been incredibly generous to us. Just as a side thing, not part of this, but just think about that in the life of a Christian then, right? There is no room for boasting, is there? There's no room to look down your nose at other people or to think that you're superior, because it's only a grace gift of God that you are who you are. Everything we have, God is so amazingly generous. He made this world for us to enjoy. He sends us rain. He gives us food. He gives us nice homes to live in. He gives us work to do. Even our very lives are a gift from God. God gave us life, and then He gave our lives in this fallen world a purpose even. It's amazing to think on. It's how much of a giver God is. Then more than that, more than just the general nature of life, God got involved, didn't He? He gave us the Bible. Boy, we're very thankful for that, aren't we? Because without God communicating to us His Word, we would be hopeless and lost. So God took action and gave us His Word. He revealed Himself to us through His Word, and so that we could know Him. Without that revelation, that self-revelation, we could not know God. We could know about God. We could know about a Creator. We could know things, but we could not know Him personally. And so He did. He gave. Incredible. As we read even today, as we're looking at this, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. God gave us His Son, John 3:16. Notice the language in some of these verses we'll look at. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world that He gave. He's a giver. It's His nature to give. And without God's gift of His Son, again, we would be hopelessly lost. Wouldn't we? We would be hopelessly lost, floundering in the mess with everyone else. But that's not what God left us in. He gave His Son. 2 Corinthians 8:9 talks about the richness of that gift. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Notice the nature of God in there. He, being a gracious God, deserving of all things, emptied himself, gave everything, so that we would be blessed, right? So that we, by his gift, would be rich. Isn't that incredible? This is the nature of God. He is a giver by his very nature. Now, because of Jesus Christ, God also gave us several other things. He gave us new life. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of your own. It is the gift of God. God has given us every aspect of new life. He is the one that even gave us the very means to believe in him. Without him, we would be just hopelessly lost in darkness again. John 16:7 says that Jesus said that he would give the Holy Spirit to live with his people. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. See, did God have to do that? No. It was his gift to us, his Spirit to come and live within us. Now, do you live with anybody that's hard to live with sometimes? Huh? Does anyone else that lives with you live with someone that's hard to live with sometimes? Huh? God's Holy Spirit lives in you. You're hard to live with. Isn't that amazing? That's the gracious nature of our God. That's the depth and riches of his love. Man, what an amazing God. He gave us his church. He gave us his church when he left out. He sent his church and he gave us this body to encourage us, to help us to know him, for instruction, for just to have relationships, community, all those kind of things. It's a gift of God. A gift of God to his people. We desperately need his church too, don't we? As believers, we really do. Desperately need it, especially in the way, the nature of the world and the way that it is going. He gave us gifts of people. Ephesians 4:11 is real clear on this. 1 Corinthians 12:28 is the cross-reference passage that I'm going to read. 1 Corinthians 12:28, I believe, is the passage. Yeah, God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healing, helping, administration, various kinds of tongues. And he goes on, it's kind of a discourse there, but the point is, this is a gift of God. It's not necessarily the point of that passage, but the point for today is we're thinking, how do we get those things? God gave them to us. He appointed the apostles. He appointed us pastors. He appointed us these different ministries in the body of Christ. It talks about that in Ephesians 4:11 through 12 also, these gifts of people that God has given us. That's a great blessing, isn't it? We really have a rich heritage in Christ of the many people that God has given us. And even more than just in the apostolic age when the church was forming and the Word of God was being penned and all of those things. Down through the ages, God has given us gifts of people to help us and to minister to us today. Think about how many books you have read from good, godly, biblical thinking people. Think about how many people who are now even with the Lord, who God has given you, who have ministered in your life and shared with you the truth and helped you and served and loved you, that God has given you. It's pretty incredible to think about, isn't it? Just the rich blessing that we have. Why? Because God is a gracious giver. It's his nature. It's his nature to be such a giving God. Spiritual gifts, again, as we read at the last part of that in Ephesians 4, 7 to 8 as well, talk about some of those, and there are other places, of course, where it talks about the spiritual gifts, gifts for ministry that God has given us. Everything we have is a gift. Everything. Everything that we experience here, we haven't made any of it. Right? We think that sometimes, right? Hey, I made that. I built a house one time. You know that? I made that. No, I didn't. I had to get the wood. It came from somewhere, right? You see? I built it. I put it together, but I didn't make it. It was all a gracious gift from my God. Even the ability to know how to put things together and to nail things where and all that so it wouldn't fall apart. God gave. He is a gracious giver. The word gracious there means undeserved favor. used throughout the New Testament, throughout the Scriptures, grace, gracious, that we do not deserve the gifts. It's counterintuitive even to say that, isn't it? To think about that you would deserve a gift. Who really deserves a gift? Stops becoming a gift when you deserve it, right? Doesn't it? Do you give gifts to people this time of year because they're so worthy and well-deserving of it? You love them, right? You want to be a blessing to them, and so you give gifts to them. The truth of God's gifts is that we do not deserve these things, but God gives them to us because He is a gracious God. And He wants to bless His people in so many different ways. Notice a few verses here also, Romans 5:8. We're talking about the nature of God's inexpressible gift. And then it comes to us this way in Romans 5:8, but God shows His love for us that in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So it wasn't that God died for us in our state of worth. God sent Jesus to die for us in our state of helplessness. We were sinners. That passage 6 through 11 calls us ungodly, calls us enemies, right? Without strength. That's when God gave. It's a gracious thing. He gave it freely, not because we were deserving of it, not because He had to or He was compelled to, but because He wanted to. And it was a free gift, not based on the character of the receiver. It's just the way that we give gifts today, right? I don't give gifts to someone, well, you're not worth it and you're worth it. That's not gracious at all. That becomes an earning. It's all about His graciousness, God giving us what we do not deserve. Notice again in the same passage, oh, there's another one here, Ephesians 2. Let's look at that one. We'll come back to Romans 5:8 in a minute. Ephesians 2. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Notice that love is the motivating factor in God's giving. It's love. God gives because it's His character. His nature is be a giving God, and His character is love. He's a loving God. He gives all of these things out of us because He loves us. He loves us. He loves us supremely. And we should, as God's people, certainly be able to understand that at a very deep level. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the things He endured, and even the really kind of inexpressible, I guess, if you will, hard to sort out, the depth of taking on all the sin of the world on the cross of Calvary. That is an incredible act of love. God's nature is to give, and He gives graciously out of love. Notice that God is always motivated by love in those verses there. While God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. So again, as we think on why that matters, as certainly we'll come back to this here in a little bit, let's look at a couple places. Matthew 6:33. Motivated out of love. And I guess I'll back up a little bit. Well, let's just read 6:33. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." This comes to us in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, at the end of a passage there, where Jesus is instructing His people not to be so worried about food and clothes and money and all those kind of things, right? And living in this world that we live in, that tends to consume us, right? Well, am I going to have food tomorrow? Am I going to have this? Am I going to have that? But Jesus says here, no. Remember God's character. He has promised to provide for you all of these things. His track record is proven. Check it out. He's never let us down before. He never will. Your thing is to seek Him. Seek first the kingdom of God. Trust Him, and all these things will be added to you. Notice, we'll come back to that thought again later here. But notice Romans 8:28 and 29. This is an interesting thing as we think on these. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are the called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Have you ever thought about that? As we're talking about God's nature today, He is a gracious God, He is a loving God, and He is a giving God. He gives us all things. He's promised to provide for us, and He always has. Did you know that even the very difficulties of your life can be a gracious gift of God? He has either allowed it or He has given it straight to you for a good purpose. That's something over the past few years that's really been helpful for me. As sometimes life gets a little bit weighty, just to be able to say, all right, thank you, God, for this. Thank you for this, because I know I can trust you, and I know that you're up to something good in my life, and you're working, you're changing me. You've shown me by giving me your son, as we're going to look at here in a little while, you've shown me your commitment level. This is okay, too. I will accept this gift of this difficulty. All right? That's really been helpful to me. It's really the truth. It's really the truth. God has, many times He enters into our life with difficulties so that we can become more like Christ. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. God is a giver. As we've been talking about, and certainly today, hopefully our thoughts are going to the ultimate gift of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible or indescribable gift. Jesus Christ, God gave His only Son. He gave His only Son. I like to think about it this way, too. He gave Jesus to us. That's what we're talking about at Christmas time, right? Jesus came in the flesh. God became man. Jesus came to us. He came and He ministered and He taught us and He served. He healed people. He revealed God the Father to us. Jesus' ministry was so significant, and He is the Word. He took the Old Testament scriptures and He helped us know God in a way that was elusive to people. Look at the Old Testament. Look at how God's people did. My reading was in Nahum today, and just God again proclaiming how they had fallen from Him, and then how He was going to restore ultimately the world. Without Jesus' teaching, we needed that. It was Him giving Jesus to us so that we could know Him, so we could follow Him, so that we could have an example. He gave Him to us, and then He gave Jesus for us. In other words, Jesus lived, but then He died. He sacrificed Himself for us. He went to the cross of Calvary, so terribly treated, beaten, and abused, and then took on all the sins of the world. So He became sin for us. Galatians 1. 3-4. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God, of our God and Father. He gave Him for us. God the Father gave Jesus for us, and we are supremely thankful for that, aren't we? Right? We needed Him. We needed that gift of His Son. And then He gave Jesus to us again. What do I mean by that? Why does that matter? Because now Jesus has died for our sins, and He gives us a relationship with Him. Right? It's more than just this sort of mental assent to truth or accepting of the knowledge that He died for my sins, but rather it is an entering into a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. It's a day-to-day real relationship with our Redeemer. This is what the inexpressible gift is. Have you meditated on this? Think about that this morning. That God, the Creator, has given me a real intimate relationship with Himself. That I can know Him by faith. That He loves me today. And me, not just us in general, not just people in general, not just the church in general, but me, you. God, the Creator of all things, loves you and gave Himself to you. It's incredible. Incredible to think about. God gave us Jesus. The baby in the manger is God coming to us, coming to restore what was broken by sin, and coming so that we could know Him. That's what Paul means when he says, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. That is incredibly inexpressible, isn't it? Words fail when you think about the richness of the gift of Jesus Christ in this broken world. Words fail, and it certainly helps me as I think on my life And it's so easy to get focused on this world or the things of this world or the things that excite me or the difficulties of life or the difficulties and trials and all those kind of things. But when the reality is that Jesus Christ is mine and I am His, all of that stuff just becomes tertiary, doesn't it? It's all just the junk on the outside as we try to wade through this broken life to get and to and really not just kind of slugging through it, but having a joyous, victorious life now because He is mine today. And then to get to that ultimate consummation when He comes back and takes me to be with Him and I am remade and I have forever with Him. It's amazing to think about. That's the inexpressible gift that Paul is talking about there. And then even while we live here, to represent Him, right? Just to represent Him and to tell people about the gift that we have received and just to let Him work. But just to kind of bring all this together then sort of for an application for us today, first of all, certainly, make much of Jesus Christ today. Let's look at this passage. This is where I said we would come back to. Romans 8. Go back there with me, and we're going to look at 31 this time. When you think about the incredible gift that God has given us, what needs to be some of the different responses of a child of God? And the first one I would say is to trust Him. Really, that should be any person's response, right? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should have faith in Him through Jesus Christ is what God's will is for people. When we think about what God has done, what He has provided, it should drive us to trust Him. Now notice here, if you're in Christ today, if you're one of God's children today, I want you to notice what God's commitment level is to you based on His gift, based on what He has provided. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long, as we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This world is upside down on its head, isn't it? This world is a crazy place to live in. Truth is a lie is truth. It's a mess. People are using each other, killing each other, hurting each other every day. The world is upside down. What do you do? Trust in the living God. He has given His very Son for us in the middle of this mess and gives us a rock to stand on. What is going to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ? This place is one day all going to burn. It's going to be gone. The entire world is going to be gone. But the love of God that is in Christ is forever. Forever. It's amazing. When life is difficult for you today, or when the things of this world tug and pull on you, remember what God has done and remember who He is, what He has given to you. He gave you His very Son. He has proven His self trustworthy and He will provide. He's certainly proven how far He'll go to provide, hasn't He? Right, he's just given us everything. Neither look at what He said. Neither life nor death nor angels or rulers. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. God is trustworthy. So our response as people needs to be faith, trusting Him, trusting in His character. Faith really is all about God's character. It's about who He is, and you're saying, yes, I believe who You are, God. I believe who You are in the middle of this world, in the middle of the situation, in the middle of whatever I am facing, that You are God, I trust You. First response, faith. Second one, make much of the gift and the giver. Normally, we would say, make much of the giver, not the gift, right? I have this wonderful life that I am enjoying. I have all of these things. I have all these friends. Make much of the giver, right? Not the gift. But in this case, this is the only opportunity we get to make much of the gift and the giver. Huh? Isn't that awesome? The gift, Jesus Christ, and the giver, God the Father, as He gave Him to us. Make much of Him in your life. Today, this week, as you celebrate Christmas with your family, reflect on Jesus Christ, the gift of God. Reflect on what God has given you. Thank Him. Make much of Him. When people interact with you this season, and look for those opportunities to make much of the gift and the giver. Make much of Jesus Christ. Thank God. Celebrate Jesus Christ in your life. Enjoy the life that He has given you. And then, lastly, as we close, live for Him. Live for Him. Notice a few scriptures with me that talk about what the purpose of Jesus Christ, how that then connects to your daily life and how you're supposed to live that out. Titus 2:14 is the first one. Titus 2:14. It talks about in 13, Jesus Christ, waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of our Lord, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now notice 14, who gave Himself for us. Okay, it's exactly what we're talking about. He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people, His own possession, who are zealous for good works. He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, to purify for Himself what? A people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. God didn't give us Himself for nothing, right? Okay, just keep on living the way you've been living. Keep on doing what you've been doing. Live like the rest of the world. No. He made us, He gave us Himself to purify us and so that we would be zealous for good works. So that we would do the kind of things that He did so that we would represent Him well here in this world. Galatians 2:20, I love this one. Notice what Paul says here. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Kind of flipped upside down from Titus there. Christ loved me and gave Himself for me. What does that mean in my life? I am crucified with Him. He loved me, He gave Himself for me, and so I share in the life that He lived. I share in the life that He had. I share in the ministry that He gave me. I am crucified with Him. My old self is dead. I'm not living for myself. I'm no longer living for myself, but I'm going to live for the One who gave Himself for me. God's gift should drive people, certainly His people, to this mindset. 2 Corinthians 5:14. The love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this. One has died for all. Okay, again, God giving us His inexpressible gift. Notice the follow-up. Therefore, all have died. And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. A friend of mine was talking about somewhat deep theological issue with me on the phone this week. and he's had a rough couple of years. And I said, it means one of two things. Either you're wrestling with something and you're losing faith, or things are going pretty well and it's easy for you to dig into deeper things. I knew that was the second one was the case. And he said this, if it only said this one time in the scriptures, I could overlook it and think it might mean something else. But it says it like 5 or 6 times. This is what I think about this passage. This thought, if it only said it one time, you might not perk up your ears. You should, but you might not. But how pervasive are the scriptures on this? He gave Himself for us so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but for Him. What's Christmas about in America today? Money. Right? Let's just be honest, huh? Right? Christmas starts in like next week, right? Christmas ends, it starts again, right? The advertisements and all that junk, I mean, it's just overwhelming. You got to get your Christmas savings going. You got to get the Christmas tree set up in July. They want your money. Christmas isn't about stuff, right? It's about that God gave Jesus to us in the flesh. And that gift of Jesus Christ, He came and became a real man so that he could represent us on the cross, paying for our sins, and all of the sins of humanity were poured out on Him. He became separated from the Father, bearing the sins of the world. The precious gift of God is that through Him, by faith, we can have eternal life. We can be redeemed from our sins. We can have new life. We can be made new. We can be pulled up out of the mess of this world and live with Him forever. That truth should drive His people to love Him, to rejoice in Him, to live for Him, to serve Him fully. To forget about all the junk that our culture is telling us the life is about. It's a ripoff. God gave us His only Son. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. His inexpressible gift. It's an encouragement for all of us today. Let's commit together. Let's work together to make much of Jesus, to live for Him, for our conversations, to just bleed grace as we meet with our family this time of year, to be a blessing to people, to share the truth, to not let the message of our culture and the coldness of our hearts keep us from witnessing of the greatness of God and His wonderful gift as we talk with people. Let's pray together. God, thank You so much for Your indescribable gift. We certainly would confess that we don't fully get the richness and the depth of the gift of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the level of knowledge that You've given us. We're thankful for Your self-revelation. We're thankful for Your Word so that we can know You and know Him. But God, we would confess that You are an infinite God and our understanding is not infinite. And so it is inexpressible, indescribable what You have given to us. Lord, work in our hearts. Give us, Lord, just an excitement, a boldness, just a joy to serve You this time of year and to love people, our people that we know, people in our families, and even people that You're going to put in our path that need to hear the gospel. Even we pray that You would put some that need to know Jesus Christ as Savior and that You will save through our meager ministry as we speak the truth in love to people. God, help us as we go out of here, even today. Give us safety, and God, just give us a lot of joy together as we meditate on the beauty of Jesus Christ in His name. Amen.